You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, Victor Davis Hanson is one of my favorite writers. He has a new book out called The Dying Citizen. That sounds pretty sad, pretty much a downer, but I think that there's hope for America. And I'm here today with Jean Llewellyn, and she's out of California. And I want to have a discussion about an article that Victor Davis Hanson wrote, because he talks about this whole issue of what's happening in our country with spiraling costs and things going up and anarchy at the border and critical race theory and what's happening in America. So Jean, welcome. And I want to talk about this article.
Yes. Hi, Linda. Again, big, huge fan of Victor Hanson. So amazing that he's from Central Valley in California and has maintained such a excellent conservative platform and shares it with the world constantly through his books and his lectures and his podcasts. I advocate for everyone to tune in wherever they can. He's a very wise man. His grasp of ancient history as well through Greek and Roman, and the way that he can tie, especially now with what we're going through, he can tie those happenings, those events from ancient civilization to current happenings is very, very telling. I find it really super interesting that there are many, many parallels in what had gone on and in the ethos and the culture and where we're kind of headed today because of our privilege overall from a civilized standpoint, not white, not American, but overall we've come so far in our ability to turn on the TV and to start a car and, you know, from where the Greeks and Romans were, but yet we're still living in the same lane of enjoying wealth for our time and having lots of opportunities to do, you know, mischievous things with that time on the sidebars. So this new book of his sounds really super interesting, very timely. Yes, the citizenship is dying. It's not dead yet. I think that was his point, is that we can resuscitate it and bring her around. But we have to, and we're seeing it happen. We're seeing it happen in the streets in America and throughout Europe. Sadly, Australia is really suffering right now. I don't know what's going to happen down there, but people are not going to give up so easily, don't you think?
Well, I think that they won't give up easily, but, you know, I always liken this to that lobster that you put in the pot. And if you put it in when it's boiling already, he's going to really fight. But if you put him in when it's cold and you keep turning up the heat, then they just kind of go to sleep. That's what I think the American people are doing. I think we're going to sleep. And I think that it's very dangerous to do that, because we're going to be that lobster that's boiled at the end of this if we don't wake up and get ourselves out of this now. What Victor Davis Hanson's article is titled that I'm looking at is The Dangerous Diminishing Power of the Independent American Citizen. And you know what? That's really something to think about. That's a pretty deep subject if you want to really spend some time on thinking about what is really happening in America and what our Constitution and our forefathers gave to us and offered us. And are we throwing it away? Because we have so much happening now where the government is deciding things for us, and, you know, things like the vaccine or things like our are leaders in the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, different people that are misleading us or break the law and they have no consequences. We're one side against the other. We have a Congress and a Senate right now with the Democrat majority who want to disregard the things from history, like our electoral college and the reasons that we have it. And Jean, I think what worries me is that people in America have not been taught in our schools about civics, about our Constitution, about our history, to even understand why we have an electoral college. So that makes it, you know, something that isn't valuable to them as it really should be to everybody. And, you know, the makeup of the Supreme Court, why is it at 9 justices? Why is it not at 13 or 15 justices as the Democrats would have it be? Why is the state, why is Washington, D.C. not a state? Why is Puerto Rico not a state? There are reasons for all these things, but people are not understanding those things anymore because they are not given the education that they need in school. And in my belief, that's on purpose.
I do think that there might be some design behind it all, but it reminds me, I had a conversation with my sister-in-law who lives in Arizona, and she was providing me with condolences because of the non-success of the recall campaign. And I said to her that I don't know if these kids realize what is slipping away. And she said, they don't know what they don't know. And right. I mean, that sums it up perfectly because they don't know. They don't know the California that I grew up in, that my family enjoyed. And my brother and his Arizona wife came here and lived for many, many years. And a lot of their kids, my nieces and nephews, have come back to California because it still has the golden glow that it always has as a wonderful place to live. And you used to feel that way about raising your children in good schools and all the rest of it. So when you take away that education and that robust citizenship, as Victor Hansen refers to it as, people, they discuss politics in lively debates in the public square. And all ideas were fair game. And if you were shot down or whatever, then the better idea came to the surface. And so be it in politics as well. But we're dealing with a different cadre with the internet. And I think all things point towards to the internet. It's 5 years in its infancy. It's starting to get into adolescence now. And I think that the control of information, the use of it as a propaganda tool, has shifted the understanding where the crazy ideas that used to be shot down in the public square by saner voices aren't being shot down anymore. They're being fueled, and they're given arms and legs, and people latch onto it, and it becomes a thing, right?
Yeah.
And so it's that kind of changes this whole ecosystem almost of the way in which we do culture, the way in which we do communication and policy, really, right? I mean, who would have thunk that the ideas and the radical nature of this far left agenda would be taken seriously and not just laughed off the stage? You know, not to say that there's not a place for these voices, but again, if they were brought up in a rational setting, you know, it would be shot down because of its unsustainability and its the cost factors and the fallout from all the other things that they're not thinking about. Similarly, if you had of from California, for example, if you had of had an engagement and a buy-in from the local businesses at the beginning of COVID to say, hey, hairdressers, hey, nail salons, who have had the same customers for 30 years and who want nothing less than to hurt or harm the people that they've been doing business with for decades, who are already taking these huge OSHA requirements of safety. What if they were brought to the table and said, hey, look, we've got this, you know, we know this much about it. And as, you know, and maybe they got together and met on a regular basis as new information came through back in those early days. And they were able to adjust and modify their practices without having to completely shut down, putting the responsibility back on the people that, well, if you're feeling a little bit sick or if you have comorbidities, you call up and make a special appointment. And so instead of locking down the healthy, we take care of our vulnerable and we don't destroy the economy, because the public square had a logical, vibrant debate about how to make this work. That wasn't afforded to us in New York, the same as in California. These mandates were forced down on us by basically one person over. And what do we have in California? Millions, right? Millions and millions of people. This one person who wasn't affected by any of it. So when you have that kind of a disjoint and disconnect from the actual people, while at the same breath, these policies are killing the middle class, which was that robust voice, you're getting desperation, and you're getting people that are, you push and you push and they back up and they back up. And now they're starting to come after their kids. It's not going to fly. That's why it's the great equalizer. The school board meetings, right? That's where we're seeing this come up. And I think that's very telling. It's like you can mess with all of this other stuff, but you start messing with your kids and you're going to hear from us. And because those are Democrats and libertarians and independents and Republicans that are standing up saying, no, 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 no. This has gone way too far.
I think that one of the side effects, which maybe was somewhat positive of the whole COVID pandemic, was that parents had to stay home with their kids and got to see what their kids were learning that they didn't know, because I just don't think that most parents pay enough attention to what their kids are actually doing in school. They don't sit down and talk to them like they used to. Now the TV or games are a babysitter, and parents are always too busy. So this gave them an opportunity to really see what was happening, which I think is where a lot of this pushback is coming from. And it's perfect. We need this. I have been saying this for 30 years about the schools, and I just felt as though nobody was listening, and nobody was listening. All of a sudden.
Well, a few people were. Linda, and bless you for having the voice when you did, you know. There's been a lot of rattling of the cage, and people are starting to understand now how to use social media, how to create those things. We've had some great inroads here in California through Facebook on getting the local school boards, because they're all county, local municipalities, communicating about what's working, the lawsuits that are taking place. It's a fabulous way to bring these people together. Better than the Pony Express, because, you know, that's how we did it the first time around and we were successful. So gee whiz, we've got a lot more tools in our belt. We ought to be able to pull this one together. So I think that we have to fight back against the things that have pushed us out of the town square. And part of that, I think that the Republican Party being the largest, other than libertarians and independents and the Green Party, we have sadly allowed that to happen, because in our basic value system, it's self-reliance and free market economy. So when you have the other side coming at you saying, this group has rights, this group has rights, this group has rights, the natural inclination of the conservative is to say, all right, whatever, go do your thing. You know, I'm doing my thing over here. You go do your thing. And but what the fallout from that I don't think was totally realized is that when you're doing that, you're stepping out of that public square, allowing this other priority to come into it. And that takes up the oxygen in the space, filling that vacuum. Until pretty soon, here we are with our lovely Republican conservative values up against the wall going, well, hang on a second. Now I can't even move. I can't say anything. I can't, you're demonic, right? You've given up right. all of these freedoms because you've been obliging to the whims or the demands of these vocal minority liberal causes.
Right.
Legitimate as some of them may be, but the method by which they gain their ground was fundamentally unfair in my feeling. Because
they made us feel guilty and they shamed us and they continue to do that. And they have made exactly what you said. They've made all these little splinter groups and we are out of the public square. And we should all be in the public square and we should all be equal in that public square. But now they've given some people more rights than others, which creates a friction between people. And it seems that everything that they're doing, Gene, right now within the government is in one way or another pitting people against each other. Social media brings people together in some ways, but it also tears people apart in other ways. I see the vitriol on Twitter every single day that just for somebody saying something very simple. I mean, that the people want to shame them and call them names. And, you know, we have so many names that we're calling people, racists, homophobic, you name it. I can't even think of all of them at one time. There's so many things that we're calling each other. And every single thing is something that pulls us apart. And we have to find that way to get us back together. And the truth is, we are all more alike than we are different. So we need to stop with the different. And you can celebrate your being different in any way that you'd like, but you can't have more rights than I can. And I think that that's where we've gone wrong. And I think that it's being totally perpetuated by the left, and especially the progressive left right now. They're trying to pit people, you know, the poor against the rich, the Hispanics and the people of color against the whites. Everybody's pitting everybody against everybody. And at the same time, we are losing our culture. And when I say culture in the United States, I don't mean the color of the people in the United States. But when you allow 1.5 million people to come up from over the border from 148 different countries, you take something from our culture because these people are not invested in America. They've not done the work of learning our laws and our constitutions and our language as people that went through the whole citizenship process have done. And they just are here and they will take from the system for a very long time. Some of them will succeed. Many of them won't succeed. But we are hurting ourselves in so many ways. And our progressive left legislators right now are empowering that. And the other thing that they are empowering is people, criminals, to be recidivists. And I mean recidivists like you do something today, you get out tonight and you do it again. You know, there's a guy in New York that's been arrested 46 times for walking into different stores and stealing armloads of merchandise, but he just gets out every time and he laughs about it. He said, because they're not going to do anything. That's not fair to all of us. It's not fair to put somebody that has harmed a child, harmed any person whatsoever, murder, rape, assault, you name it. They get out on no bail and they are here to hurt us again. That's what our leaders that we've elected are doing to us. So to me, the answer to this is always the same. It's that we need to know better who we're voting for and what their values and what their ethics and their judgment is. And you have to look at their past, but I don't think that people do that enough today. I don't think that they pay attention. I think they pay attention if it's a D or an R and that's it. I just can't imagine that America wants the chaos that we're in so many ways right now. And we are losing ourselves. We're losing we're losing our friendships with our fellow Americans. We become a nation of distrusting each other and calling each other names. It's just kind of an ugly time in so many ways.
Yeah, I think that it's changing though. I think that we've barreled down the path. The country was swept away by Trump and MAGA and the policies. I mean, a year ago today, we were prosperous. It was, you know what I mean? We were all dancing in the streets because everything was wonderful. And how quickly the tide has changed. But what that means is that it can just as quickly turn back the other way. And there's always cleanup in aisle three because there's been certain things that have been put into effect that need legislatively to be unwind, voting integrity laws, all of these things that people a lot of them are scrambling around trying to nail down on the left side of the aisle or nail down on the right side of the aisle, although I wish somebody would get a better hammer on the right side of the aisle. But I think that you can look at the top, okay? We have today Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, arguing with the Soros implanted DA of Illinois because they're letting them fight out in the street. And these are both Black American women that are overseeing these bodies, these agencies. And the one is letting them just saying, they caused the gunfight, let them fight it out. They kill each other. And Lightfoot, surprisingly, kind of, I think, I don't know her that well, but I mean, I go to Chicago quite a bit, but she's like, hell no, that's not what can happen. She was like incredulous that I can't believe that this gal is allowing this to happen. So when you've got they're eating their own now, which is predicted, and the people are from all sides are saying, heck no, we're not complying with all of these mandates and everything. You may get it at the bureaucratic level, but you're not gonna get people at a lot of these lower levels. They're not gonna have the fights with people. They're not gonna say, if you know what I mean, oh, I just need to buy a loaf of bread. Let me just go come in and get it. They're not gonna do it. And if the local sheriffs who are not bound by municipal law, they're bound by the constitution of the state, they, as many of them have, can say, I got better things to do. I'm not going out enforcing mask mandates, right?
And well, so a lot of them do that, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So the people are, you know, yeah, we were all afraid and they, you know, the death ticker tape on CNN, but now that's all gone. And there's a lot of other things that are getting our attention. The border crisis, this horrible abomination of Afghanistan, all of these other issues are so much more relevant than this other thing that really isn't 98% survival rate. It's really starting to lose its priority. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the winter, but you know, everybody put a sweater on, don't catch a chill. Remember what your grandmother said. Well, yeah, but I think that the tide is turning. And if we can just hang on and survive until 2022, it's going to change. And where we saw this pendulum swing with Biden into this insanity, it's going to start swinging back after 2022.
Well, I do agree with you there, but I do worry about this $350 trillion boondoggle bill, I call it, because it has so many handouts in it and so many entitlements in it. That
I don't think it's going to pass. I don't think it's going to pass.
I no longer think it's going to pass, but I do think I am concerned that a version of it will pass. And when you give people handouts,
you never get it back.
And, yeah, it's like taking your shoes off at the airport. We can't go down that road in this country.
Yeah, it's like taking your shoes off at the airport.
Yeah. Well, you get a TSA thing and then you don't have to do it. So
no, but, indeed.
But it's another thing you have to do. It's another control thing that you have to do. And you know, I have to say that as somebody that travels a lot, there's not a lot of TSA respect in my blood for the ones that I have had to deal with at the airport. I mean, there are those that are very well trained, but it's just another control thing. And it's one thing after another that they are putting their thumb on the American people. When Joe Biden said two things, first, that he was going to punish the Border Patrol for whipping people, which they were not doing at all. And he never apologized for saying that. And nor did anybody else in his administration when they were totally wrong. And then when he just came out and said that he's going to prosecute parents for so-called threatening school boards, these school boards are way out of line in this country. And it is the parents who should be deciding the curriculum, not these school boards. As Terry McAuliffe said, parents should have no say about what we teach their children. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that was the death knell. That was just as like, he said, what? Because if that's not going to get every parent standing up saying, no, I don't think so. That was the most solidifying thing for the side of parental rights that could have ever had. It was a total gift that he stood up and said that.
The absolute, I don't even know what the word is, but the way that they think that they know better than we know about our own children, you know,
about everything. That's the whole elitist thing.
About everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole elitist thing. That's how all of these civilizations tumble. That's how Mao and Stalin and all of them did their dirty work. It's you placate and give the treats to this group over here while you slowly demonize and starve out, sadly, not, you know, figuratively, not literally, and sadly it was literally for all over the world, Mao and all of them, this other group of people. And you know what I mean, you get a lot of them going, well, as long as it's not affecting me. And I've kind of felt that way too with all this. I live in a little suburb. I don't really wear a mask out a lot. No one bugs me, you know. I do my thing. I've had COVID, so I'm, you know. And, but it's not, but I have friends who are in frontline, you know, not frontline, but they're nurses in hospitals, they're firefighters, and they're facing losing their jobs because of this, because of, regardless of what their reasoning is, because they have natural immunity, because they have a comorbidity that puts them at risk, because they have religious beliefs that are against this, because they just have read the criteria and feel like they're in a low risk and they shouldn't take this thing. So whatever their reasoning is, they're looking at losing their livelihood, their families, having to uproot and move out of the state. And it's horrible what so many people are having to deal with, just like during the lockdown. It's like, you know, yeah, I had my nail guy or my hair salon, I'd go to her house, or we'd get five gals together and we'd all meet in somebody's garage and they'd do a whole bunch of nails. You know, we all did the black market thing, right? Because that's what everybody does when you have these ridiculous encumbrances put upon you.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. You find a workaround. And that's not sustainable. And it's not, I was just talking to my girlfriend today. I'm really not looking forward to Christmas. I used to love to go to the mall. That was my one time a year I'd go to the mall to see the pretty decorations and smell the incense and have my Christmas cheer, Hanukkah moment, right? And it's like, I don't even want to go out. It's just, there's this heavy wet blanket weight on everything with, are you complying with this? Can you show this? And these poor kids that are working at these restaurants and everything that have to stand there and say, they don't even know what they're looking at when they look at these cards and, okay, you're in. I mean, they're put in this position of being, I don't want to use the word Nazi, but you know what I'm saying? The Gestapo. Oh,
I do. And
and it's horrible.
Speaking of those poor kids, it's all the kids that are in school and the kids that are working in the restaurants. And, you know, they've got to wear those masks for 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And I just think that's so unhealthy for them.
Mask acne. They have some word for it now. It's a real thing. My daughter's 24. She goes, I didn't have a pimple since I was 18. And now she's had to buy products. And because she's a bartender, she has to wear one all the time.
Well, yeah, it's but all those toxins are getting stuck in your lungs and on your face. So, I just think, and I honestly don't believe that masks work anyway, unless you have something to the same safety as the hospitals use. The fabric masks, I'm not sure that they actually help at all.
So, of course they don't.
You know, but it's just a rule. And, you know, when we come back, I want to talk to you about a meeting that you went to and what you learned about
PMA.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And today I am sounding off with Jean Llewellyn. And Jean is the executive, she's on the executive board for the Republican Women's Federated in Westlake Village in California. And I am Linda Martinelli. I am a business owner and also the host right here on America Out Loud of Talking While Married, which is on every evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please join my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, and myself there. So Jean, you went to a meeting just recently and you were telling me about PMAs. So what are PMAs and what did you learn?
Well, I'm going to do my best here, Linda. This is all, I'm a newbie at all of this. It's not anything that that I had any kind of prior understanding or need to understand in the past, because, you know, regular business structures were always seemed the only path to go down. And then came Newsom, and then came the lockdowns. So a PMA is a private membership association, and it is a business structure that is similar in the same lane, so to speak, as a LLC or an incorporation. However, a private membership association is in the private sector and not in the public sector. So the delineation between the two takes us back to common law and some centuries old structures of the way people have done commerce. And as you probably know, the government makes a very distinctive, our government, US Constitution, a very distinctive allocation for private commerce. So that when people join together and make an agreement, the government cannot intervene in that agreement. They have no jurisdiction. That is a private association. In the public association, when you're asking the public, which is the legislative, executive, judicial branches of the government, for permission to do business, such as getting a license to cut hair or a law degree or a medical degree, you're asking them to create a structure or laws or rules and regulations that you have to adhere to. Now, separate from that is our legislative body, which makes laws, and nowhere in this does it say that those laws aren't universal in their coverage or their intent. So this is not about breaking any law. In fact, it has to adhere to many laws. What it doesn't have to do is participate in these licenses and those types of regulations. So hear me out. You may remember back in a way, this is more up my alley probably than yours, but maybe you're a cattle rancher woman.
I am.
So back in the day, they wanted to sell raw milk, and the USDA said, oh no, you're going to kill people. It's dangerous. It's got bugs in it or whatever. And so they tried to shut down all of the raw milk products. Well, the ranchers, farmers, the dairy people came together and they said, well, we're going to create these co-ops. And they were membership run grocery stores, basically, that you could go in and buy your raw milk products because you were a member of that association, of that store, and the government's jurisdiction over the food and things sold in there did not apply. So wow. If I walk into that store, I've signed a document that says I am a member. It's a membership document. And maybe I've given you a dollar or 20 bucks a year or whatever it is. You send out a newsletter or something. So I'm in this establishment now. I am in a private membership association. No different than me coming to your home and you serving me lunch, right? So within that realm, we can do business as we so choose. Now, okay. For example, if I go to a private membership association and there's alcohol served there and I'm 16 and I leave that event or that place and I go get in an accident and I cause property or other damage, that is breaking the law, and there's a retribution that's due in that. If I'm 21 and I'm in that establishment and I become inebriated and I go out and get in an accident, I'm of legal drinking age, so there is no recourse there. So the law says that you can't serve minors. That applies inside and outside any business structure. So you have to abide by the law, the laws of the land, as they relate to civil law. But when it comes to the licensure and the agreement between consumer and provider of a good or a service, that's a private arrangement. So okay. what this has created, and it exists and always has in this country. For example, you may have heard of Scientology. You may have heard of, again, these co-ops. To a certain extent, and don't quote me on this one, but I think the Amish have something similar that they do. It is there's also another category, not a 501(c), because it's called a 508, and it's an exempt religious category that is also utilized to be able to do business without the intervention of government entity. So it's pushing their jurisdiction to the boundary of where you're doing your commerce. So let me elaborate on that a little bit. So the people and businesses that are coming together to do this are obviously the ones that have suffered through these lockdowns, that they've been chosen as the non-essentials, while the Targets and the Home Depots and the Costcos down the street selling the same things are allowed to do business. And they were the disenfranchised, and they all had to be shut down and lost their livelihoods. And then you go out from there. But so these are the people that are coming together. Now we have a new wave, and these are the doctors and the nurses and these people that are now saying, this is wrong. I can't practice medicine the way that I'm supposed to. I've got government, non-medical government people telling me how to treat my patients, and they've had enough of this. So if they come in to a PMA structure and you come in as a part of that, you knowingly. It's like when you go see any medical professional, you ask them questions, you ask for referrals, you do all of your due diligence. Does the fact that they have a license, not their education, but a license on the wall, does that really give you any feeling of credibility in their capability? Probably not. You want that referral, bedside manner, you know, all of those other types of things. So if you move that license out of there and they're allowed to practice their medicine and their trade directly with the consumer without that infringement.
Are they allowed to, Jane?
Or are, absolutely. Absolutely.
So absolutely. So they don't have to have a license on
because
on
they're
wall?
Within the private structure of the PMA.
Is and that's there, very important. Is there important an example of one of those?
Okay, so they exist and they're out there. They're growing now, and it's a national phenomena that's starting to gain a lot of ground. There's obviously going to be pushback on this, but it's you again. Like I said, Scientology, the Amish, the co-ops from the 70s with the natural food, and the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all of these huge money families have create these PMAs because that's why you can never trace where the money's gone, because it goes into these types of structures, and you don't get any further. So it's all a protection from that business that is being handled within that structure. Is if you're not a member, it's none of your business, and there's no accounting that has to take place.
Wouldn't they have to have? I mean, in order, say, to practice medicine, they have to have some sort of
no.
So I could go in and practice medicine.
Not in the public square, but in the private square, you can.
Wow.
So okay. So hear me out. We just since what I don't know the 30s, the 40s, fairly recently in our history, and more so probably since the 50s and the 60s, we never had licenses for all this stuff. The governments, the municipalities, never got involved in all of this BS. In states like California that are heavily litigious, where there's absolutely no tort reform, everybody sues everybody else. They created these, I mean, there has to be some reason for it, as some sort of if you're licensed, that means we can send people into your shop and tell you that you're not doing blah, 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 and blah, right? And we'll shut you down if you don't comply. And that's exactly what they did during COVID, right?
Yes.
So if I'm going to that person for a service, I'm making a choice to go in there and have my nails done. I'm taking that risk, as it were. I don't care what licensing they have. If I don't like what they're doing, I get up and leave, right? At that level, it's a personal agreement between me and the person that I'm doing business with. We all do it with our gardeners, our housekeepers, our right?
Yes.
It all exists all the time.
But that's a different level of knowledge that they need to have.
I'm sorry, say again?
That's kind of a different level of knowledge. Your housekeeper, your gardener is a different level of knowledge than somebody doing
it. It doesn't
healthcare.
Matter though. It's not about what they're doing. It's about the structure in which it's taking place, private versus public.
Okay.
That's private versus public. And that's what we have to get our heads around. No one has really been, the child of the 60s, I was not educated in common law. I'm not a law student either, but it exists and it always has existed. And there's many people with lots of reasons to keep their business private that utilize this. So what this means is that a group of people get together and they buy some land and they build a hospital and they have a high level doctors and nurses and surgery centers and everything else in here. We kind of have it today in the public square where they have doctor run surgery centers now, right?
Right.
That's kind of a new thing to get them out of the hospitals,
yes.
Out from underneath all of those requirements. So the doctors got together and created those surgery centers. So this is kind of a similar thing. But so I'm going to buy in, I'm going to buy a pay for a membership into this co-op, as it were, of facilities, of medical facilities, and or nail salons, hair cutters, grocery stores, farmers, whatever, right? You're all a part of this network. And when I go within there to do business, it is a private transaction. And so I am privately hiring you to take out my gallstones, you to cut my hair, you to sell me bread.
Okay.
And it is 100% on the books, a legal way to do business.
So are they seeing an increase in PMAs now?
There were 70 people in this meeting that I went to. The people there were discussing networks across the country that are starting to form and take place. And I would bet that a lot of them are in Democrat-run states because they know this is not the last lockdown. We lost the recall here in California. Newsom has been emboldened. He thinks he's got a mandate now.
Yes.
He's mandating vaccines on young children when the vaccine hasn't even been approved yet. This is the madness. So people are like, I'm done. They're done. And instead of trying to fix the FBI and these bureaucracies that are just so horribly broken and so horribly skewed to the whim of the political agenda, you can't, I've heard many people say this, we can't fix it. We got to just start something else over here and then basically burn the other one down. Because just, you can't fix it anymore.
Well, I agree on some things like schools. If parents could band together and make a PMA where they can teach their children how they want to teach them, I think that would be the best thing for the future of America that I can think of.
Yes, because what's happening now with all of this, because people are leaving the public school system in droves, is they're starting the overreach. They're trying to cancel the... what are they called? The little offshoots of public schools, charter schools. They're trying to shut the charter schools down. France just passed some legislation saying they can't homeschool. The level of control that this small elitist group of people if you added them all up, they probably wouldn't fit in your paddock in your backyard, but they think they can control the 1 million of us out there. And by 1 million in America, I'm talking about, MAGA, people who have had enough, who enjoyed the benefit of a free market economy and being able to do business legitimately. And, it's just that you can't just rip that rug out from underneath the people and have them just bow down and put their head on the rug. It's not going to happen. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
I'm hoping that it doesn't happen.
I have to tell you I have a lot of people that are involved in these types of things in my life in the last 2 to 3 years. It is so invigorating and so wonderful to be in a room full of people with, my brethren, as it were, of the common common value system and everything. Yes. But more than that, Linda, it was the potential, the mere thought that we could come up with something better, and what's stopping us from doing that? Because you can sit here and comply and bow and subservient and it's the rule. I got to do this until you don't. And there, it's nothing short of throwing the tea off the boat. Pretty soon you just say, no, I'm done. It's enough.
Well, and I agree. It's a way to resist, and that's what we need to be doing: is resisting what's happening to us. And by so doing, what we're going to do is we're going to give our children. Let's just use the schools as an example. We will give our children a better education about why America is exceptional, why it is the best land or the best country on earth. Yes. Why our
American exceptionalism.
And we don't teach that anymore. And we need to have, I'm always thinking of private schools, but this is a great idea, because a private organization that people are members of, it would be outside the purview of the school districts and the unions, and which the unions, they need to go away. I mean, they're not doing anybody any good. They're just really soaking in a lot of money from the members, and they're not doing a lot of good. And I know teachers who have had issues where they need that union member to support them, and they don't. They're not there. They don't even know what they're doing, because they're there just to take your money. So
yes, no, absolutely.
I think that this is a great, there's so many things that you could think of ways to get around what's happening to us and have people be more empowered.
Well, because what you have right now is you have people fighting, and they're trying to fight the system from that standpoint. And it's sadly, it's kind of a useless cause. And just walking away from that and doing something else that is what American exceptionalism is about. It's about, you know, the goal is to feed your family, to educate your children, to live a happy life, a God, you know what I mean? And worship your God. And when you can't do that for months and months and months on end, and you're not seeing, you know, you're seeing this type of infringement on it, worst case scenario, in my opinion, because I really think things are going to change in 2022. And a lot of this is going to be in the rearview mirror. But just like out here in California, I always have water and a couple of canned goods in the, you know, because the big one hasn't happened in a while. And right. I've lived through all the big ones out here, right? And all the folks down there with the hurricanes and all the rest of it. You have to prepare. You don't have to be a prepper, but you have to prepare. You have to be ready. So creating this PMA structure, just like an LLC or an incorporation, you can get this done and have it sitting there ready while you're running your regularly licensed business over here, that you keep them totally separate. But so that in the event of future lockdowns or other, God knows what isn't, you know what I mean, can happen, you have this structure there. And so that, and the network, you're already a part of it. So you just can flip a toggle switch and say, okay, no, look it, I'm sorry. If you know what I mean, for whatever the reason is, you come over here. This is Acme Hairdressing. Come over here, and it's Beta Hairdressing. So come over here and do business with me at Beta Hairdressing and join the club, and we can continue to do business. So if people are interested in it, there's several places to go. Proadvocate.org is a great launch pad to get information. Again, it's PMAs. They're called Private Membership Associations. And I think if people kind of start noodling around, they will be amazed that this has literally, it's been around for years, years and years and years, decades. No,
I think it's really, really good information. And I think that people should be looking up, you know, how to form these, and people that are interested in getting around the things that are happening right now. And I'm with you, Jean. I think that 2022 is going to be a red wave. And I think that we're going to get back a lot of these things. At least we're going to be able to block what Biden is trying to do. Yeah. So that's the good news there.
Yes. Well, and what it's done as well, Linda, and I don't think that this is lost on anybody, is that it has awakened we the people. So all of those moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, they're showing up at those meetings. And I go back to the school board meetings, because there's probably some great term about that. That was the critical mass, right? That was the moment of reckoning when they started messing with our kids, right? That was the moment of reckoning when everybody said, hang on a second. I pay property tax. They're working for me. What's going on here? And it's not, you said kind of go around. It's not about going around. It's about creating something new, something else over here. It's like, fine, look at you all want to run this situation this way. And there's a structure there for you to all do that. And you know, you give your government the license, they also can pull it away from you too, right?
Yes.
So we're just going to go over here, and we're going to work with each other. we're going to get back to these basics of healthy commerce and healthy living and, you know, valuing our values and our religious beliefs and anything else that comes into that foyer. And you can live healthily and get back to feeding our families and educating our children and being happy.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question based on what you learned. So during the shutdowns, especially in California, they shut down church services as well. Are those not private organizations?
Well, so it's interesting. So churches are usually 501(c)(3)s, which makes it such that they are not allowed to talk. It limits their First Amendment rights to be able to speak about political rhetoric, right? That they're supposed to stay out of that. Well, the problem with that is you have this huge voice all across America that has been stifled, and pastors and ministers and all of that that have felt that they can't help lead the flock in information, community outreach. Think about it. In a lot of places, the church is the community public square.
Yes.
So there's another, this 508, C1A, I think it's called. It's a different type of an organization, a tax structure that provides exemption, but it's totally exempt. And it provides you the freedom of your First Amendment rights. And so a lot of churches are coming across to that so that they can create a bully pulpit for some of the ideas that are to strengthen the communities and to help these people within these communities. Because sadly, most of the issues and the strife has political underpinnings to all of it. And if you can't talk about policy and elected officials that are destroying those basic functionality and structures of your community, you know, what are you doing? You're coming together to pray for the people who have been damaged by it. It's kind of, it's reactionary. It's not proactive. And so it's things are in place. None of this is new. It's all existed for hundreds of years. Probably. I mean, common law goes back to England and to European, right? Pre Magna Carta, even, I'm pretty sure. And it's been utilized by people in the know. It's just like, well, you know, CPAs and stuff know how to do the taxes because rich people look for ways to save their money, right?
Sure.
And so if you tend to look towards that group of people for solutions, oftentimes they're employing them. And this is clearly one of those things because the PMA has been utilized by these groups of people. Because remember, that you open that door and you say, are you a member? And they say, no, you shut that door.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.